summer is starting, okay? So, and these signs actually represent summer harvest and not the end of, or the limit of the places or what God might have in store for us. But this is where we're starting. I'll go through them briefly. So, you know, in the summer, we have our graduations coming up. We have the Faith Promise banquet coming up during graduation weekend. We, of course, before that, we have the high school graduation. And then, you know, we lead into all, you know, the classes, the pre-convention and the convention at the end of June. And then we, you know, our summer kicks in, and that's when people can have an opportunity to do a summer harvest, okay? And like Pastor Scheller prayed, we're praying that God would lead us. We're doing this before God, and summer harvest is not about where we are going, it's about us. Think about that first. Many things have happened in the people that have gone. It has changed their life. It has redirected their life. A very important part of summer harvest are the people that go. And that's why we're going to have this tonight. I'm just going to hold up the signs. But Sunday night at service, we're going to have the signs are going to be with some of the people that are going to these certain areas. And then after service, you can go and meet the people that are going to those areas. And you can find out more about or more information and about when and how much and those kind of questions. And we will also on Sunday night have a question mark sign. It's like if you want to go somewhere and it's not here, or if you don't know what to do, we will also have that sign and we'll have an information place. Okay? Okay, so just a few of them. We have Albania. This is where Pastor Hewlett is. We have Cambodia. This is where, Albania, Chad and also Tommy are planning on going to Albania at this time. Cambodia, Ben Morales wants to go there. Pastor Doug is there. He's had his first 2 weeks in Cambodia. By faith, Brazil, as you can see, is in the middle. Isaac is petitioning for that. But Pastor Stan is waiting in Argentina to go to Paraguay also. Scandinavia, we have a Finnish camp. There's a Swedish camp and also an outreach to Denmark. Okay, that's going to happen in Scandinavia. Pastor Schaller will be on that one. And do you guys notice something? Anyone see that? Albania and Greece? I wonder what that means. Okay. Yeah, the trip. Pastor Hewlett is planning on going to Greece also after their camp in Albania. So that's an option for people. You know, you can go to a part of these, the first part, the second part. So this is an option. People. He'll be also going to, Macedonia also while he's at his camp. Camp Life Europe this year, it's unique. It's the first time ever. Pastor Pete and Pastor Love are going. And then after Camp Life Europe, okay, this is for, you know, young people. But then also after those trips, Pastor Love is going to go to Finland and Pastor Pete is going to go to Central Asia. These are opportunities for you. It's not about what they are doing. I'm not saying this, you know, to tell you what they're doing. It's so you can be a part of it. And then China, we have a special need there. We're going to go to certain new cities with small teams and teach intensive Bible classes. Okay, that's part of the opportunities there. And then, of course, the USA, we have several different trips that are planned in the United States, and we'll make those known on Sunday during the day. Then also, we'll probably have some flyers, and then also Sunday night, you'll know where we're going in the United States. So that's summer harvest. So tonight, you see what it is, and then Sunday night, you're going to have the opportunity to actually meet some of the people that are going, and you can learn more about the trip and start planning. So it's the beginning. You don't have to catch, you know, the first train. You know, we'll keep talking about this, and you'll still be able to go. So okay, that's summer harvest. And it's about you going. It's just as important about what is there. It's so that we go and see what God does in our lives. So offering, don't forget the grace hour. Maybe I'll give a testimony. It's a great testimony. Have you ever wished you could be somebody else? An actor is so comfortable sometimes being outside of his own skin that he takes on a brilliant personality when he's inside of his character role. He takes on that character. You guys know what I'm talking about? And there's even, you know, some actors have actually, you know, they're great. Well, yeah, this last year something happened to one of them. But they have a difficult time living in their own skin. And like today, I kind of like for a couple of hours, I lived inside of somebody else. You know, I was just kind of like joking around. And it was amazing. I was just joking for a couple of hours, literally today, just to lighten the load. You know, sometimes you just don't know what to do. So you just, you know, lighten the load and you do something you've never done before because, you know, whatever is going on. And so I did that. But I was thinking of, because you know what hinders us? Our habits. Most handicapped people in the world can be people that have habits, because they don't stray out and do something they've never done. When I was in second grade, my second grader friend, you know, he said, let's go for a horse ride. And so I said, how are we going to do that? He said, I'll show you. He's done it. He saddled up the horse, and he rode around the corral, you know, a couple times. And then he says, why don't you try it? And then, you know, he didn't tell me about the reins or anything like that. He just, you know, second grade, you know, instead of watching video games, we went on road horses. I went around the corral a couple times, and then, you know, it went underneath of the tree, and, you know, I found myself, a second grader, hanging from a tree, you know, like that, because, you know, the horse ducked, went underneath, and I was hanging on the tree. But that was an experience that I never forgot. And thanks, Paul. That was an experience I never forgot. And when we do things outside of habit, this is like, you know, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the new man. The old man lives in his habits. And he may not even like listen to an offering. You know, he may have his habits. He may not even think this is a time to exercise faith. He just has his habits to close his ears, to say, this is the way I do it. And that's like his old imagination, but put on a new imagination. You know, the new man. And we venture out in faith. And it's like putting on another character. And we're so liberated. We put on Christ, and we're so liberated. And we live before in those crazy, imagine, like, we can have imaginations that cripple us also, like our habits. We just have the wrong imaginations all day long. Maybe it's about ourself. It's about our circumstances. It's about other people. And they destroy our lives. But when we put on the new man, we literally do things we would never do. And let's think about the offering like that, and not just tonight, but the way that we approach offering, that we give. We give in the new man, in a character that is not our own, but it's Christ. Okay? So, Father, we thank you for that new man, God, and that we would have this boldness to leave the old man and live in the experience, the reality, that we would literally know that we are in the new man. Bless this offering in Christ's name. Amen.
Turn to John chapter 13, please. That was amazing. Boy, she is so good singing, huh? Amazing. Great. Wow. Boy, and the kind of song was good, wasn't it? The song, boy. Lively. Got a punch to it. Huh? Boy, it was good. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit, than he that takes a city. The spirit, prayer, concentration, the spirit of a man or a woman, the Holy Spirit, the spirit. Wow, it's, we read about it in the scripture and we also experience it. It's very, very sensitive part of your being, the spirit of a man, small s, and filled with the Holy Spirit, the capital letters, Holy Spirit, and the heart of a man, the heart of a person, and how Satan can put it in the heart of a person. Is my sound okay? Because up here it's funny. I don't know what happened. But anyway. Okay, so Satan, Acts 5, 4, Satan put it in the heart of Ananias and Sapphira. But God has put it in our hearts. We have the word of truth that is able to set me free. And I have to pay attention to the fact that there are many spirits that are in the world, and there are many lies that are in the world. And a believer could have a strange spirit or a passive spirit, and not Romans chapter 13. No, Romans chapter 12, fervent in spirit. So the believer that has the Holy Spirit is able to respond to God in the Holy Spirit in faith. And he can sense the authority and actually rules his spirit. This is verse 32. If you think of it with me this way, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he, that's a great word for people that get angry. By the way, our theme for the marriage getaway on Saturday is how the sense of humor in a marriage helps us a lot. So it will be also a fun day, I believe. God will speak to us and help us in understanding. And Friday night here in the panel, we have three couples. And Ryan does such a good job. And we're going to have a great time here Friday night. It's free Friday night at 7 to 9. And then on Saturday, it's $20. And then if you want to eat lunch, I don't know if there's space still, but that's $29. But just come and be with us. It'll be a great time. The Spirit, verse 32, he that is slow to anger. Now, anger is a problem in marriages. Anger is a problem at work. Anger can be a problem with our friendships. Anger is a problem in church life. But if you are slow to anger, it means that the immediate circumstances are subject to something higher. I have a relationship with God. I have a spiritual life. Notice the next part. And he that rules his spirit. Now, to be quiet in spirit, fervent in spirit, spirit-filled, to have a spirit of joy, a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of praise. Wow, praise. I mean, that's an amazing theme. D.L. Moody said, there are people that pray, but they don't praise. And he wrote an article about it. Praise, like prayer. And then there is praise, like every day realizing and recognizing and responding to God for all of his goodness all around us. Remember, I said I wanted to preach a message on cows and how God made cows. And I wanted it tonight, but I didn't get a chance. I didn't get there. So, but I think it's amazing that we have cows, animals, birds, fish, and we have so much of it, and grass and air and the cosmos and all parts of life. It is incredible. And to praise God, let praise be continually in your mouth. Psalm 34:2. It is a part of ruling our spirit, because God is a God that has given us so much, and he's just anticipating our attitude, because attitude has a lot to do with life. Remember catitude and dogitude? Attitude has a lot to do with my life, and my spiritual life is simply a relationship. It's very simple. It is not hard. It is very simple. It is simply an attitude of concentration on the person that loves us. It is, I will extol him, Psalm 114, verse 1. Highly exalt him in my heart, my attitude, because I realize by the study of the scripture and by the presence of God in my life that all kinds of things have been given to us and we are showered with it. And praise is a big part, and response and faith is a big part. So let's go now to John 13 and just talk to you heart to heart from this story. And it is in verse 12. Look at verse 2. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. You have to be careful of what is put in your heart. It could be totally wrong what is put in your heart. It is much better to wait upon God and have the Holy Spirit fill us and get a hold of what the Holy Spirit is saying, what the Holy Spirit is doing. And I praise God and commend the body of Christ for gathering all the time like we do faithfully by faith and anticipating freshness, anticipating the Spirit to speak to us, anticipating something beyond ourselves, anticipating God's heart and mind, being prepared for meeting Christ one day, being prepared to share our faith and have an answer ready, prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in us, to resist evil, to disagree with what the world is saying is important and saying, no, you say I should seek my own life. I say in with God, let's lose our life and seek him, and we will find it. we will find a new life. Judas was targeted by the devil, and he had the target and he had the receptacle, and it was Judas Iscariot's heart and mind that was unregenerated, and he was right sitting there right next to Christ, perfect target. And so Satan could put into his heart to betray Christ. Jesus told him, go do what you have to do. He left the room. Now Jesus has his 11, and this is the group that he really wants to talk to. Judas is gone, and it's so fascinating that Christ did not point him out. He just let him decide. Who is it, Lord? It is he that puts his bread in this cup. And Judas did it. Who'd made the decision? Judas made the decision. Christ did not make the decision, and he did not point him out. It's amazing. Okay, now, the text I want you to see is verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down, he said, know you what I have done to you? That's a very powerful statement. Do you know what I have done to you? No, Lord, we don't really know what you washed our feet, but we don't really know what it means. Life is like that. What is going on? I don't know, really, Lord. What is going on? Can you show me? Can you tell me? What have you done here, washing our feet? Tell me. Because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And even when you think you know something, you don't know what as you ought to know. And that is a beautiful thing in prayer. When we don't go to God with our hearts and minds filled with ourselves, but instead we go to God saying, I don't know what is happening. Show me and teach me. And I think of our ministry. I don't even think we realize what it is that we are doing exactly. But it is big, powerful, amazing. Salvations every day around the world. Disciples that give up everything in their life in order to embrace Christ and follow him and trust him. And men, young men and older men and people that are doing this and doing that, and the women, the mothers and the pastors' wives and the team members and the single ladies and the single guys that are living in faith. And then all the folks here going to work all the time, 40, 50, 60 hours a week. And doing a good job by faith and having a great attitude. We want to know, God, more about it. I want to know. And the Spirit is saying, I want to show you. Be fervent in spirit. Don't back off in spirit. Don't get, you know, we're funny. All of us are people, we are funny. And so verse 13, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. We could rehearse it, even if you lived in that many years of your life. I like to relearn it and think about it. And have this ability in Christ to focus in the Spirit on truth and respond to God in truth. We get worried about this thing and that thing, and the Lord says, quiet down and focus on the important thing. I am teaching you something. I want to teach you to be a servant. I want you to teach you so that I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is a spirit that serves. The Holy Spirit is a spirit that care, that glorifies God. And that we have been called into this where we glorify God. That we are here on the earth for one reason, and that is to bring glory to God. We are here on the earth only for one thing, that the Holy Spirit would lead us, use us, and show us in life that everything we do and everything that is sent before us in life is so that we can find the way that God has in Him being glorified and being here for His great purpose. And we find it in life. But I'm saying these things tonight because I'm thinking about prayer, and I'm thinking about praise, and I'm thinking about focus, and I'm thinking about our gifts, and I'm thinking about our capability as believers to be fervent in spirit. And Satan cannot. He throws something into our heart, but it can't stay. Because the spirit of truth is in us, and we are fervent in spirit. Then he throws a demon, a spirit of bitterness, a spirit of envy, spirit of jealousy, a lust for another woman. I honestly believe that could be thrown into the heart of a man or the heart of a woman for a man or whatever it may be, that it would be strange, but suddenly in the heart of a person comes something that is from Satan. No. We are fervent in spirit. Not here in the meeting. Yes, in the meeting. But in a home. In private and quiet. You know, this kind of attitude. Jesus, you know. Give me that. Show me. Show me. Jesus. You got to stir me. Jesus, you got to show me what is going on. I don't get it. And show it to me. And he said, do you know what I have done for you? No, I don't know what you've done. Show me. And I mean, put it in my heart and show it to me and motivate me in that thing. And he said, and there are many teachings. Forgiving people, not caring about what the world is doing, not worrying about anything. Fear not, little flock. This is the Spirit of God that is in me. I don't fear any. Like David's mighty men, I was reading about three of them today. David had these mighty men, 37 of them. The first three, when I read about their lives, it was they just were very aggressive. They were very aggressive. The first one killed 800 men by himself. I mean, he was very. The other guy, two lion faced men, their faces were like lions, and he killed these two Moabites and then a lion on a pit in a pit in a snowy day, and then the third one in a bean patch standing and not giving an inch when everybody else ran away. He would not give up. He would not give up. He would not run away. This is not their personality. This is not personality. No, it is being fervent in spirit. That's what it is. It's being spirit-filled. It's like, I don't care what other people are saying or doing. I got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm ruling my spirit. Holy Spirit is leading me so that I can lead others. Holy Spirit is teaching me something so that I am able to help others and lead them. But this is what happens. I'm not fervent in spirit. I'm with a group of people, and we all kind of just kind of move along in the routine. No routine. I don't want a routine. I personally don't want a routine. I know what routines are, and I'm not talking about our duties, our daily duties, but I'm talking about spiritually. There is no routine. There is God. That's not a routine. God is not a routine. God in your spirit. What is God going to do today? I don't know. He made whales. I don't know what is God going to do today. I don't know. He's got red and yellow and other colors that he has made. He has variety. He made a mosquito and he made an angel. How can you put God in a box? Be fervent in spirit. The Holy Spirit. Yeah. Loving the enemy, loving people, loving yourself, and not giving up. You know, digging in. I don't care what my past is all about. I forgot it. I could care less. I am a man of God, a woman of God. This is who I am. And the Spirit is in me and is speaking to me about who I am. And that's who I am. Period. That's the way it is. That's how it is. That's, you see what I'm saying? Prayer isn't like maybe it will happen, maybe it won't. And prayer is not a form of worry. You know? I got a prayer request. I can't pay my bills. And I go to prayer and I worry about it for an hour. And I come away and I'm still worrying about it. And I wonder, did I pray? Well, yeah, maybe you did. I'm not saying you did, and I don't know. God knows. But wouldn't it be amazing where I was able to say, you know, be like, the Lord Jesus Christ is yea and amen. And the Spirit is saying, and he's saying to me, what do you want? And he goes, be serious with me. And I got to get kind of serious in my heart and say, God, I don't know what I want. And then he said, just be quiet and listen to me. I'll tell you what you need. I know what you need before you ask me. I want you to be thankful for me, who I am and my awesomeness, and get excited. Not get excited, but just recognize that I am God and I am not like other gods. I am God. Do you realize who I am? And I say, no, I don't. And he goes, I can show you. Are you ready to give it all up? All your nonsense and craziness and selfishness and everything? Yes, Lord. Get them bored with all that stuff. He goes, come on, let's get going. Get your wings going. You'll fly with me. I will bring you. I will teach you. You know, that's the idea. Let's close here. It says in verse 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. You know, it's sad, hurts, when your friend lifts up his heel against you. A child brings up his heel against you. It happens in the church. It can happen. Somebody lifts up. It's hard, but it cannot destroy you. It cannot take you down. Yeah, because you have to be fervent in spirit. Rule your spirit, if you could follow that with me. Be spirit-filled and say, you know, this hurts a lot, but it's not going to separate me from God. Yeah, this is very painful, but I'll get through it. There's another day. Weeping may come in the night, but joy will come in the morning. Because I've got the Holy Spirit in my life. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Be fervent in spirit and live in the spirit and pray in the spirit. Rejoice in the spirit. Be thankful in the spirit. Attend the assembly in the spirit. Wait on God in the spirit. There's nothing greater than assembling together in the spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, where we drink the same spirit. Verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me. And I can't even believe that. Some of these folks that are going to these countries, we're sending them out, and those people are going to receive Christ. They will receive Christ, because he said it right there. He that receives whomever I send receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. Wow, man, that's amazing. We have in Finland more than 40-year history over there. The same men that we met in those years when we lived there are the men that have been pastoring for 40 years or 38, whatever the number is. And God did it. We were sent by this assembly. We preach Christ, they received us, they received Christ, and they are in the ministry, and it's a miracle of God. It doesn't happen except by the Holy Spirit. And when you and I learn to be in the Spirit, fervent in the Spirit, believing God in the Spirit, reading our Bible in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, fervent in the Spirit, believing God in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit and asking God, and standing our ground in the Spirit of God, then we'll not be ashamed. We'll say, we'll lie down with peace and say, hallelujah, thank you, God. I did the right thing. I believe in what you said, and I'm following you and believing you, and I'm not ashamed. He that believeth is not ashamed. That's our calling. And I am so thankful for it. And I believe the things that we see around here and the things that we are doing are of great value. Please do not underestimate the value of it. Please do not live in your flesh. Please do not become careless in your spirit. Please do not let Satan sow in your heart something that is destructive and not of him. But let God lead and guide you all the days of your life, and pray for me and all of us, one another, a lot in these days. We the devil doesn't like our spirit. Let me close. When we were in Maine, Pastor Stevens was preaching fire. We had church meetings. We had angels come. We had meetings. We had outreaches. And there was a witchcraft capital, Salem, New Hampshire. Salem is in Massachusetts. Salem in Massachusetts, where they burned witches in 1680. It became like a mecca for witches. And there was a meeting there one summer for the witches in America, maybe other countries too, I don't know, but they were gathering. And they handed out a paper. They were not to go to this church. They had a paper, you're not to go to these places, something like this. And one of them was they were not to go to the Bible Speaks Church. That's amazing. Why? Devil knows who we are. Devil cares about it. The devil targets it. The devil wants to take it down. The devil, Satan, sows things in the hearts of our own people. And they get ideas and so on. And it's not because they are bad people. It is because the believer who is greater than a man who can take a city must pay attention that because there are many spirits that are in the world and many ideas, I must pay attention so that I may be a man that prays. If I pray in the Spirit, there's a good possibility that when I come here, I will fellowship in the Spirit. If I live in the Spirit, there's a good possibility that when he tempts me, I will recognize that it's another spirit. When there are lies all around, then there's a very good possibility that I will recognize what it is. I will denounce it, resist it, deny it, not embrace it, and walk on in God. Okay, amen. That's what I wanted to say. Would you pray with me? Lord, this is a great assembly by your grace, because your Son is exalted, because your Spirit dwells in us. And we love you, Lord. We love you for all the things. We love you for who you are. We love you for your greatness. We love you for your kindness. We love you for your daily mercies. We love you for all the gifts you poured out upon us. We love you, Jesus. Teach us praise. Teach us prayer, thanksgiving. Teach us fervency in the Spirit. Teach us wisdom. Teach us response and faith. Prepare us for the evil day. Make us capable and able. Bless this assembly tonight as we go our way. Bless our homes and everything we do. Keep us from evil and prepare us for the fight. In Christ's name, yes. Anyone here who doesn't have Jesus in your life, tonight's the night. Tonight's the night of your new birth. Tonight's the night to say yes. The night, tonight is the night to believe in Jesus. Tonight is the night to drop your sins and say, forget it. I did it, done it, don't care about it. I care, but I want Jesus to be greater than my sin. I want Jesus in my life. I repent of my sin. I turn away from it. I turn to God, and I believe in God. I need God. God, save me in Christ's name. Raise your hand, anyone at all in the auditorium. Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. And when we go home tonight, let's have some fervent prayer. When we wake up in the morning, let's have some attitude of thanksgiving. Let's sing during the day. You know, when you sing, you work better. When you sing and you're on a ship singing, you sail better. When you drive in a car and you're singing, you drive better. When you go to work and you do your stuff, when you're home and you're singing in the shower, it's a better shower. And sing, be filled with the Spirit, singing and speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual song. In Jesus' name, amen. Wes Benoit, good to have you. Come on up, Wes. Come on up. What? Yeah. Okay, Wes lives in Texas. He's going to close in a prayer. He's on the team with Pastor Chris. Can you do that? Come on up. You're all dressed up, looking good. Texas style. We love you. Hey, thanks for being down there. He lives in Texas, Houston. Okay, praise the Lord. He's on the team.
Holy Father, just thank you for the amazing message that we just had, Father. Thank you for this wonderful service that you came here. What an amazing time of refreshment it is to come here to Baltimore. Father, just bless us as we leave. Bless these mighty words to our hearts. Just pray that we carry them on through the rest of the day, tomorrow. Father, I'm going to take it, be a little selfish and pray for my trip tomorrow, that I'd fly back well and safe. And Father, just please keep us in fervent spirit, because we've got one word left at the end of the night tonight. Convention is in just a few months. That's what just was on my heart. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Beautiful. Convention is in a few months. Okay. Wow. Awesome. The rap will be in the cafe. It's going to be a serious rap. You cannot handle it. Do not come to the rap. It'll be a good one, and I am on fire. I'm praying that this will be, the Lord will, awesome. I'm just expecting it. Get close to me. Get close to me. Come on. Come to the rap.
Amen.
Touch my shoes, and I'll touch yours. We'll wash each other's feet. All right? You're dismissed. God bless you.